Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
So if you're a consistent listener, you know that for all 25 of our years, we've always been very supportive of veterans. If you guys ever have a fundraiser or something that benefits veterans, reach out to us. Let us know. We'll be happy to feature it. Coming up next weekend, not this one, but the 20th through the 22nd, Operation Ozark Float, Riverview Ranch, Bourbon, Missouri, put on by Irreverent Warriors. The director of Irreverent Warriors is Hugh Tyson, and he joins us now. Hugh, thanks for being on the show. Appreciate it.
Dave, what's up, man? Longtime listener. Yeah, how's Phoebe doing?
Phoebe is killing it. Phoebe just got a job as a Smurf, so the evolution of the Glovers continue. Thanks for asking.
Wonderful. One, my daughter's named Phoebe, too, so we share that in common. Yeah, I was just listening to the news about the rockets raining down on Israel, and I have to admit it kind of re-triggered some of my own combat trauma. I did a 3 tours in Iraq and 1 tour in Afghanistan as a U.S. Marine, and we were under constant rocket and mortar threat, and there was a couple of tours where we were constantly getting hit, and I completely understand the never knowing of what's going to land where and that kind of anxiety that just kind of can come into every aspect of your waking moments and even your sleeping moments. So much compassion for them.
Yeah, well, thank you for your service, Semper Fi, brother. So let's talk about that. It's so rare that you get to talk to someone who's been in combat. Someone like me, movies, television, I have no idea what that's like. What is it like to be in that?
Of course, in the Marine Corps, we train extremely hard. So the actual combat's easier than the training, if you can imagine that. Like, you're more sleep deprived in training. There's more pressure placed on you by leadership, meaning they create scenarios that ramp up the pressure. The weather is worse. You know, anything you name it is going to be more extreme in Marine Corps infantry training. So when we're in combat, it's almost a familiar feeling. Only when you're in training, there is always the risk of death because we're doing dangerous things. I was on several different ranges when Marines were accidentally killed and different things happened, which is horrible. But when you're actually facing your own mortality, there's a lot more of like a existential seeking and inner work that's happening at the same time as experiencing the combat. So it's extremely, as you can imagine, extremely intense part of life, but it's also almost as if the best things in the world and the absolute worst things in the world, you're experiencing them all in a roller coaster in a very short period of time. So anybody that's been in an infantry combat environment and understands that mindset, it definitely was, you know, the biggest growth they ever went through, but also the absolute hell of their life. So, you know, it's good and bad. It's the extremes of humanity, I guess.
That is so interesting, Hugh. I never thought of it in that way. I remember my football team in high school was really good, and I was the second string running back, and I had to face the first string defense, and games were easy compared to practices. You just got your ass kicked.
So exactly.
Concept makes sense to me, and it makes sense that we would train our Marines like that. That's really, really something.
Yeah, if you think back to the beginning of humans and when they first started organizing to accomplish things, a lot of it was because self-preservation. A lot of it was having to defend against attacks. A lot of it was like a lot of human planning goes back to military roots, you know? And if you think about like Sun Tzu and the Art of War and a lot of that stuff, that is still a lot of how military operations are planned and executed today. And that's like 400 BC is a lot of that knowledge came from. And if you think about competitive business strategy, like what McKinsey does, like what happens on Wall Street, a lot of that roots back to military strategy and roots back to Sun Tzu. So it's just like, a lot of what you're doing on the football field is things that were learned and over time on the battlefield, like, hey, it's better to practice harder than you play, right?
Yeah, that's really something. We're talking to Hugh Tyson, who is the director of Irreverent Warriors. They're doing Operation Ozark Float Trip, not this weekend, but next weekend at Riverview Ranch in Bourbon, Missouri. Hugh, before we get into the particulars of the event, I want to say that it's been in the last few years doing a bunch of veteran-related podcasts that I really became aware that it's not just war fighters and combat troops who go through PTSD and who have a rough time when they get out. You can be a clerical person, and you don't even have to deploy. Just being in the military can be very trying on people.
Absolutely. And I would add to that and say that a lot of us signed up to serve because we felt a very strong sense of service and protecting others. A lot of where that comes from intrinsically inside of someone is because they themselves in childhood had some pretty extreme events where they did not feel protected. They did not feel served. And they want to turn that kind of experience into something positive. Unfortunately, a lot of times when you go into an intense circumstance with some trauma and some childhood stuff lingering around, and you go through something difficult in some very depressing moments, some very anxiety-ridden moments in the military, and you're taught to stuff those emotions down and just do the mission, and then it almost exacerbates existing trauma and existing mental health issues. And so what we see a lot of is it's basically, you know, all of us as humans on this planet, we all have very difficult childhood moments, betrayals, breakups, family things, right? And it's like if you shove those down and then you're taught and it's reinforced to shove those things down, over time, it can create this kind of building of these negative and dark emotional things that aren't being surfaced. And then when you get out of the military and you're just kind of kicked back out, for some folks, they would describe it as like getting out of prison or something like that, where you just are like completely free, but almost too free, almost just spinning freely out of control. And then, you know, it can lead to a lot of coping mechanisms and a lot of problems, and a lot of that panic and anxiety and depression can kind of resurface. So there's a lot going on there. But yes, absolutely, any member of the military, combat or not combat, because I saw a lot of combat. My little brother in the Marine Corps as well did not see any combat. And we both still struggle with a lot of the same mental health stuff when it comes to depression and anxiety. And being able to talk about it and being able to have camaraderie and humor around it, which is what Irreverent Warriors is all about, and being able to get together and go on a float with a bunch of other people who are vulnerable and working on their mental health and, you know, folks that have dealt with suicidal ideation and aren't afraid to talk about it. And then this float's open to all patriots. It's ran by our veteran group, but it is open to anybody who loves America to come down and hang out with veterans and just laugh and have fun and be patriotic and love one another. And that seems to really do more for healing than the pharmaceuticals that are typically prescribed. So, you know, the data is showing that this kind of peer support actually does more for people's mental health than the pharmaceuticals. So it's been really remarkable.
Guys, any questions for Hugh before we get into the details? But you did such a great job of explaining all of that, Hugh. So tell everyone the particulars and how they can get involved.
Absolutely. So if you want to join us June 20th through the 22nd, it's about an hour south of St. Louis. Go to OperationOzarkFloat.com, OperationOzarkFloat.com, or go to IrreverentWarriors.com. Either way will get you there. It's $99, covers your campsite, food, boat, bonfire, all the fun, all the laughs. So, $99 is the cost. The doors open 2 p.m. on June 20th, OperationOzarkFloat.com.
Excellent. Hugh, if you do this again, I'm just thinking to myself, $99 is a really great price, but just in case there are people out there who don't have it, let's do a scholarship program next year.
Absolutely. You got it.
Okay, awesome. Thank you, Hugh.
Sure.
That was great.
That's great stuff. I mean, just hearing that description, it makes so much sense. But more interestingly, when he was just basically explaining how so many things spring up from that, the very beginnings of like the philosophies that led to what defense is, right?
Yes.
What the military in our world, but it's just in the old days when we're just organizing, there would be people that were just defending, right? And then maybe at some point, eventually, well, not at some point, we know it did, not maybe. Yeah. Eventually, it also became about branching out, and you would use that force to attack another force to secure your own future, I guess you could say. But it's fascinating to think about how many things branch off of that.
Yeah, so true. Sandra is asking, are you going to do another live show at the Wildy soon? Sandra, I'm not sure we're going to do it this year. I think we may be over here on the St. Louis side in October to celebrate the 25th anniversary. I think the place we're going to do it, although we've not settled on a place, will be about 400 seats, so plenty of room. And then I promise you, though, that we will be back to Wildy next year at the latest. Wildy's my favorite theater.
Yeah.
The Sheldon was a privilege and an honor to do. It's an amazing place, 720 seats, perfect acoustics. But the Wildy is my hometown. It's where I saw Star Wars in 1977.
Yeah.
It's cool.
That's your heart place.
That's my heart place. Yeah. So we'll do that again, I promise. Okay. All right.
All right, then.
Okay. This is going to work out. My pants are ripped.
Yeah.
But I'm here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Still standing, man.
Still standing.
Just breaking into Elton John. I'm still standing.
Bending over is not the problem.
What's the problem?
I don't even need to bend over. Like, it's pretty bad.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty bad. And who brings extra jeans? But also pretty hilarious. Right?
Nobody.
That would be weird if you did.
I do have extra.
Thank you.
I might have an extra pair of sweatpants in the car if you want them.
Oh.
I
vote for that to happen.
You think
I'll go,
so?
I'll go look
I think
during
you should
the break.
Put on wheels as sweatpants.
I'm happy doing that.
I mean, yeah.
I might have my baseball pants outside.
Actually, wheels, you should put on the sweatpants and then give them to yeah, give your jeans to Dave.
I think my jeans are going to be a little too big for Dave.
I think only one way to find out.
I mean, we're pretty close to the same height, but I'm a little bit wider. And by a little bit, I mean quite a bit.
Man, I saw, did you see The Athletic had a, what's the word I'm looking for? They ask a bunch of major
league
players.
Yeah, they did a poll of players on a number of topics.
So, Rach, they asked a bunch of major league players, what's it really like to play in the MLB and what sucks about it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they were, I thought, very cognizant of, well, I'm a millionaire telling you, working person, how this sucks. I get the fact that we fly charters and they check us into the hotel and they're top 5-star hotels. But it really was interesting, just like spending that much time away from your family. But even if you're single and you enjoy it, just spending that much time on the road.
Yeah.
It's just a very chaotic life, it seems like.
Yeah. Every one of the guys that I've ever spoken to will always acknowledge, look, there's a reason they choose to do it.
Sure.
Right? They do get paid very well. Your minimum salary is just under $800,000 a year. There's a reason everyone chooses to do it. Not to mention the fact that it is a lot of fun. Right? Those guys are having fun. But that doesn't mean it isn't very difficult. And I think what was interesting is the sheer number of people, even family members of some of the players, who don't get how much time it is. Like this one guy, they're all anonymous, but he was saying how even a family member's like, yeah, we're going to be in town for the game. Can you do dinner at 5 the day of the game? It's like, 5? The game's at 7. I'm going to be there at noon.
Yeah.
I'm going to be there, like, latest these guys get there is 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock for a 7 o'clock game. Because you got to work out, you got to eat, you got to go to meetings, you got to watch video, you got to do batting practice, you got to do your whatever physical therapy you need to do, depending on your health situation. I mean, there is just, that's the part I don't think people get. It's not like Little League, where you show up an hour before the game, stretch, throw, hit, and go. Like, there's a lot of work that goes in, and that includes post-game. A lot of these guys will do workouts post-game.
That's crazy.
And, you know, like that, so it's more than people think. But it's also, it's not torture,
no.
Right? But it is harder than people think it is. And that's what drives me nuts when people are like, oh, he's got a hurt toe, can't play through it. I play through it. Like, yeah, okay, but you don't have to stop on a dime. You don't have to have precision down to the thousandth of a second to do things. You know, like, it's not as simple as people make it out
and
to be.
And no one has millions of dollars invested in you.
Right. I mean, and that's a part that people also sometimes forget is the teams have a say in how your injury is going to be treated.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes a star player or a veteran player can say, no, I'm doing this. You can't stop me. But most of the time, there are two parties involved in that. Now, that part of the survey was really interesting. And it was also interesting if you go read the comments. Because the comments were people like, oh, bunch of whiners, blah, blah, blah. And like, no, they're just explaining the parts that aren't visible. They are all happy to be major league players. They've spent their whole lives doing this, which is another part that doesn't get recognized. The average person, I don't think, has an idea of how many hours those guys spend from the time they're 10 until they get to be established major leaguers just to get there. And it's a lot.
It's why I didn't do it.
It's an obstacle for a lot of people. You know, a lot of the kids that I've coached, man, the best ones, they're high school kids. They're 16, 17, 18 years old. They're not going to parties on Friday nights. They're working out, and they're hitting in our facility. And then they're going to bed early because they got a 10 o'clock game the next day. You know, like, you have to sacrifice a lot. And one of the guys was like, I've missed my mom's last 17 birthdays. And another guy was like, yep, missed prom, didn't do any of those things. You miss all of those things to do this. And again, it's your choice, and there's a big benefit once you're a major leaguer, but don't lose track of that.
Welcome back, Dean.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
GS on KMOX. Only a couple more days to vote for us in the A-List Awards with St. Louis Magazine. We have a link on our Facebook, or you just go to stlouismagazine.com, and you can vote each day. If everyone voted once, we'd win.
Yeah, and please vote this weekend, because I believe voting stops on the 16th. So.
I think you're right.
We actually have a link to vote on today's stream, so you can find it there on the DGS Facebook page.
Perfect. I have a hot take for you.
Let's hear it.
Chipotle's trash.
Oh.
I just can't stand it.
Really?
It's the worst of everything.
Really?
Yes.
I like Chipotle.
Why it's a good go-to. Why do you say that, Dave?
It's just, to me, it's just like the worst ingredients put together in a bad way. Maybe I just got a bad one last night.
Maybe. I mean, like, I don't think it's the greatest thing in the world, but it's good.
Yeah.
Qdoba, the same thing. I think they're both kind of like
equal. You know, likey.
No.
I like the concept. Like, if you had to eat one thing every day, what would it be? I'd say rice, meat, and vegetables.
And
so it's right
stuff.
In my wheelhouse. And it's just tasteless. What do you guys think is trash that other people seem to like?
That's a good question. You mean
restaurant stuff?
Yeah.
I mean, I might agree. Like, Chipotle 5 years ago versus now is like a totally different
restaurant.
Yeah,
it was better before.
In my opinion, so.
Yeah,
it was better before?
Yes.
I don't know if I would call it trash, but I agree with you that the quality is not.
It was definitely
better.
Yeah,
you're bringing back memories. Yeah. There's one on Lindbergh I used to go to 5-10 years ago, and it was much, much better.
Yeah.
It was like real food.
I don't know if it varies based on the store, but... And again, maybe it's just my view. But it seems like it's not as good.
I feel vindicated.
Yeah. You got no time for the messenger.
Got no regard for the Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
KMOX. Time to talk to our good pal Bernie Miklas. Hello, Bern.
What's happening today?
I want to talk about my feelings.
Oh, that's good.
I know that you and Wheels are both kind of non-feelings guys. You're about...
No. You got that wrong about me. Way wrong.
Okay, good.
I'm a big-time feelings guy.
Okay, then let me tell you about mine. I don't know if there's any support for it, but I am personally kind of living and dying with every game and feeling like the next 3 weeks are the season. with the Brewers coming back and the Cubs on this run, and we're, you know, down, and I understand it's a long season. We're not even halfway through, but I'm in my feelings.
Listen, you're not, Dave, man, you're not cuckoo for thinking that, because there's a lot at stake here. The Cardinals are free falling. I mean, everybody wanted to, you know, pop champagne when they beat the Dodgers twice in a row, but they were having some problems before that, and they're having problems after that. I mean, they've lost five in a row. They've lost 9 out of 13. They've lost 12 out of 21. But it isn't just that they're losing. They don't look good. Their offense has shut down during this 4-9 stretch, averaging only 3.6 runs per game. That's 27th out of the 30 teams. Their starting pitching is just burning up. They, since May the 20th, they have a 5.64 starting pitching ERA. That's 28th. And, you know, there's just too many hitters that have gone south. There's too many pitchers that have gone south. So my point is, your apprehension or your anxiety is based on facts. It's based on every area of the team not playing as well as it was. Defense included, although the defense is fine. But the pitching's falling apart and the hitting's falling apart. And, you know, when you see this tough schedule coming up, and listen, man, I'm number one. We're tied for first on the list of people that talks about long season, long season, mm-hmm. long season, long season. Okay, just watch the team and how they're playing. And if they're not, if they're going to play this bad with this stretch coming up against teams they need to do well against, well, they're going to be in pretty bad shape.
Yeah, I think that's, I would say mathematically, you're not in or out based on the next 3 or 4 weeks, but the way that they're playing now is the polar opposite of what we saw up till about 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago, where it was really good, right? So now we've hit the stretch. How fast can you turn it? That, to me, is the key for the best teams, Byrne. Like, they're going to all have bad runs. How fast can you turn it back around? And it's hard, like when you point out, like if you look at this at the month of June, your ERA is over 5 as a staff, and obviously not trending in the right way for a lot of guys. Even going back to mid-May, you know, you were good, you know, the latter part of May. That was part of the good stretch. But if you go back a month, they're in the bottom 3 or 4 in baseball in slugging, on-base percentage, weighted runs created, isolated power, all of that. They're managing runs during that whole time, 16th in runs in that month window. But as you point out, it's a lot worse now. The last 2 weeks have been bad on the offensive side.
Well, it's been, listen, you know, I appreciate your stats, but it's been trending down really since the opening month. The offense got worse in May and it's getting worse in June. So it goes back deeper than what you say, my friend. And so that's what I look at. Okay, you tell me if the arrow, let's talk about a team's defense. Let's talk about the starting pitching. Let's talk about the bullpen. Let's talk about the offense. Is the arrow pointing up or is the arrow pointing down over the last couple months?
Oh, down.
The arrow's pointing down. That's my point. So how do you turn all this stuff around? And, you know, you got to score runs. And how do you do that with a leadoff man that never gets on base anymore?
I mean, Matt Pauly and I were talking about that the other day. Not just him, but every guy that would be a candidate to bat leadoff. So let's say you want to move Newt. Well, Mason Wynn's got a 530 OPS in June, and Brendan Donovan before the injury was a 574 hitting 200 in the month of June. Right. And so anybody, Victor Scott, hit a .120 this month. Like, there's no answer to shuffle the deck except maybe just try stuff, just do stuff to see if it. And I'll say this, Byrne, it won't fix everything, but this is all part of the argument to why Nolan Gorman should be playing more. Because he's actually, when he's played in the month of June, has hit. His OPS is 1,000 this month. So maybe forcing him into the mix and giving these other guys days off is part of the answer. But one guy doesn't change 4 or 5 guys.
Yeah, Gorman has been playing playing more recently. Well, you know, I have a radical solution. And I don't believe there's a chance this will happen. So I'm acting like one of these people on a message board, just losing my mind. But it's based on reality. Listen, it ain't going to happen because the Cardinals have a logjam. And it ain't going to happen also because the Cardinals really don't have that big of a runway. They say they do, but they don't. They have a guy right now who, by the way, was the 7th overall pick in the draft last year. And everyone says best hitter in the draft. This guy's natural born hitter.
Yep.
J.J. Weatherholt is an on-base machine. He is a freaking on-base machine. I mean, his on-base percentage down in Double-A this year is over 450. And over the last 10, 12 games, he's got an on-base percentage over 500. Mm-hmm. And he also hits for power. J.J. Weatherholt, you could put him at leadoff. You could put him anywhere. Oh, but the Cardinals can't do something radical. No, we can't do that. They won't even put Michael McGreevy in their rotation. You know, it's funny how the Milwaukee Brewers don't hesitate to go with kids anytime they think the kid will help. That's not the way it goes in St. Louis.
I have been wanting to ask you guys about that, but have been a little sheepish about it because I knew there was some answer I didn't know off the top of my head. But it's not like a 19 or 22-year-old can't be great. Right. I would be a fan of bringing Weatherholt up. I would be a fan of bringing McGreevy up. I'm a fan of, hey, this isn't working. Let's try something. And if that doesn't work, we haven't heard it any.
Well, let me give you an example. I thought last night was a perfect illustration of what I'm talking about. The Brewers have had, and this will take a minute, the Brewers have had seven pitchers on the IL this year. Mm-hmm. It has been absolute chaos, okay? Pat Murphy, who's an excellent manager, he's had to use relievers as starters. They've started 13 different guys, starting pitchers, some of whom were relievers. But despite all those injuries and all that chaos, they've got the second best starting pitching ERA in the National League, okay? Cardinals have had no injuries in their major league staff as far as starters. They got the 10th best all season, 10th best starting pitching ERA. And, okay, here's the reason I'm setting this up. So the Brewers traded Aaron Civale today to the White Sox. Now, Civale was interrupted by a hamstring injury, but in his last four starts for the Brewers, he had an ERA about 3.35, some 3.35, something like that. They thought the big kid that we saw last night was ready. So they said, well, you know, Civale, man, thank you, but you're going to go to the bullpen. And then his agent asked for a trade and they got him out. So they removed a guy that was actually pitching well at the time they demoted him, right? The Cardinals have a guy, McGreevy, down there right now who is better than three or four of the guys they have. And you see the Brewers moving a veteran aside to plug in this 6'7 dude who throws 100, and the Cardinals could have stood there for 5 hours and not hit this guy.
No doubt.
But Michael McGreevy can't get an opportunity here. The Brewers gave an opportunity to the guy last night that they call Miz. They gave him an opportunity, even though they have much better starting pitching. That, my friends, in a nutshell, is why the Brewers are so much smarter than the St. Louis Cardinals. And it's been this way since 2017.
Hard to argue. And it's, you know, part of it too, Bern, is like every year there's somebody new joining that team that you've never heard of before, right, who comes out throwing 97, 98 miles an hour. Their closer, yeah, McGill, was a nobody until last year. Like a 29-year-old rookie, nobody heard of. He comes out here, this guy throws 100 miles an hour, and he pitches so well that we're happy to trade Devin Williams as our closer because this,
exactly,
guy can do the job.
You know something I always remember, and this is purely anecdotal. It's the very definition of it. But when Bulger was playing for the Rams and he and I were hanging out all the time, I forgot who got hurt, but they brought in a new running back, and he was doing really great. He goes, here's what no one tells a glove. Like, the second string running back is just as good, maybe better, than 90% of the first string running backs. Like, every now and then you're going to get a Steven Jackson or, right, you know, someone like that, or, sure, you know, Walter Payton. But he said the depth in professional athletics, some of the greats are only great because they got a shot when someone got hurt. And I've always thought about that for baseball too.
No, I agree. And gosh, baseball especially, because, well, I shouldn't say especially, because there's a lot more players on an NFL roster. But baseball, because it's a 162-game season, it creates all kinds of opportunities because players get hurt, pitchers get hurt. Even if it's only for a couple weeks, they get hurt, and you got to plug someone else in. So you always have an opportunity. If you're doing well in the minors and you're young and you're an upcoming player, not a journeyman like this dude that they just designated for assignment who Marmol started five games or whatever in a row and couldn't get a hit, that's not what I'm talking about. We're talking about young and up-and-coming guys with big upside. It's a great, baseball offers a great format to give those, mm-hmm, guys a chance. I don't know why Sajacy's not up here. It doesn't make any sense to me. Jose Barrero doesn't play. He has started two games since May the 6th, and they've been in center field. So I don't know what his purpose is. I just don't.
No.
And you can't tell me that Tajaeze couldn't be mixed into this lineup at three infield positions in enough time, especially since they brought Siani back up, which I'm fine with. You can't tell me that they can't work Tajaeze in that lineup for enough starts to have it worth his while. Because they're running Brendan Donovan to the ground. He's hurt. Arenado's 34. Mason Wynn plays his tail off, but we saw him tire out later last season. So don't tell me that there's no work for Tajaeze in the infield.
So
you know what the answer is: you don't want to give him that work.
Yeah. I mean, this is the argument about Gorman too, right? I mean,
well, why though?
You have all these reasons to play him and all these ways to do it, but they don't want to do it.
I don't know. You can tell by my voice. I apologize to all of our listeners. I'm actually in a good mood. I swear I am. I'm in a really good mood today. But this team and the decision-making process is just so exasperating. You know, and so like back to the original question, Dave.
Yeah.
I have a hard time sort of reining in what I'm feeling when I see any team that I care about doing all these obstinate, stubborn things that make no sense. I get worked up about that. So maybe I need to control myself, but I don't think so.
No.
I think these are legitimate things to be fussing about.
But I have so many more questions, but we're out of time right now.
Well, wait, just wait. We got you at the 5 o'clock hour.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
looking for. Well, I love being with everybody here on the DGS.
I have another Cardinals question for you that I didn't want to ask Bernie because I didn't want to get yelled at. I understand the basics of at the trade deadline being buyers or sellers.
Right.
I understand that. What I don't understand is, let's say that we're sellers. Let's say that we end up crap in the bed and we're 500 and we're 10 games out. You're not trying to give away your team. You're trying to better your team.
Right.
What are some possible ways we might try to do that?
So if you're selling.
If you're selling.
If you're selling, what you're probably going to try to do, like, and here's the real question, right? Who are you willing to trade and who is willing to be traded?
Mm-hmm.
So will Nolan Arenado waive his no trade clause? Because if you're trading him, that's entirely about moving money. Right, you're not that worried about what you're getting in return. It's about moving off the contract.
Which has never been harder because now we'd have to eat more and more of his salary.
I would think you'd have to eat, and not just this year, but like in next year too.
It just gets worse.
Right, because it's only one more year at the full price. So it's getting to the point where it's not as tough to eat if you're eating half of it. But you're going to have to probably
And he's not eat. Been terrible.
No, he's a great defender.
Great defender.
Offense has been really hit or miss.
Yes.
Like he's doing pretty well right now. But for a long stretch, he was not. So it's kind of, but that's the way it's going to be probably, again, considering age and everything. So there's that. Does Sonny Gray want to be traded? He's got a no trade clause. Does he want to move? Because he would be very valuable to a contender. That would be a guy, if you're trading him, it's to get quality in return.
Okay, do this for me. Let's say that I'm interested in what we would get for Sonny Gray.
Yeah.
Let's say Sonny was on another team and we're going to give up Cardinals for him.
Yeah.
What level Cardinals would we give up?
So you're not going to end up giving up or getting guys that are like J.J. Weatherholt.
Okay.
Or Quinn Matthews or guys like that. You'd maybe look towards players that are like McGreevy.
Mm-hmm.
That are not like top 100 prospects, but they're good
mm-hmm.
and they're close and they can help you in the not too distant future. So you'd look even younger for kind of lottery tickets, right? So a guy that's maybe 19, but a little wild, but he throws 100.
So you're not looking for 2026?
Not necessarily. I mean, again, it could be. It would depend on what the other team, like maybe it is a AAA player that's blocked somewhere, but that's a place where you could use some depth or you could use it. Like the Cardinals are going to need starting pitching next year. Right, Eric Fetty is gone. Miles Michaelis is gone. You've got Palante, Liberatore, and Sonny Gray. But in this scenario, if you're trading Sonny Gray, you've only got two of those guys back, and we're not even sure Palante is going to be that good right now. Right?
Yeah.
He's we're learning that whether or not he's going to be that. So if you're getting, and then look at McGreevy's probably the only one who's definitely going to be ready to pitch in the big leagues next year as far as prospects. Quinn Matthews might be. Tekoa Roby might be. He was killing it at Double A, and he's at Triple A now. But you need numbers, too, because there's not a lot ready behind those guys.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to add to that group, of guys that are either here or close to here, that would be ideal for next year. But if you could get a better longer-term offer, you'd probably rather have that because you can sign free agents. You know, you can go sign a veteran pitcher. You can do stuff like that. So every guy that they would move is a little bit different story.
And if we were going to spend $30 million on someone, we're not. But if we were,
yeah,
what would you look for?
Another Sonny Gray type. An older pitcher who's still good on a 2 or 3 year contract. This is not a team that's going to be in a good position to sign a $220 million starter or a $280 million starter. Because look at Arizona signed Corbin Burns this offseason. They went out and spent $30 million a year, $210, $220 million. He just went down with Tommy John surgery, so he'll be done until 2027. Like, that's the risk that mid-market teams get stuck by.
Yeah.
So you're better off buying big on shorter-term guys or spending bigger on offense and developing your own pitching. So you hold my heart out and I don't
mind bleeding any old time. Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.